Coming to you from Redondo Beach, California and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts, Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is the show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they are.
Hey, hello, and welcome to episode 24 of the Function Get Options Podcast, the irreverent, fun advice show about your life with WordPress. I'm Adam Silver with my buddy, my good friend, my compatriot, Kyle Maurer. Say hello, Kyle Maurer.
Hello, Kyle Maurer.
Hey, there it is. So, a lot of stuff going on in the world, huh?
Oh my goodness. What a crazy world we live in.
Crazy week. I think this last week, you know, we're recording on Saturday. What's today? Today's what? The 29th of July, just to kind of put it out there. 2017. And so what's new in your world on that side of the country?
What's new? Yeah, it feels like a lot of things. And maybe I'm just discombobulated after being gone for a little while.
Where were you?
In Boston.
Oh, so you were in Boston. How was Boston WordCamp? We haven't talked since you went to Boston WordCamp. WordCamp Boston.
Right.
Let me rephrase. We've talked. We haven't been on a podcast since. I mean, this is the first week after WordCamp Boston, which was last week. How was WordCamp Boston?
Right. Okay. So, right. Last weekend, Saturday and Sunday, was WordCamp Boston. My wife and I flew out there to attend the event. We stayed at a house with some of her colleagues. And I spoke on a panel.
Nice.
Towards the end of Sunday. And we had an all around great time at WordCamp. I really enjoyed the event.
Good.
It was a pretty big WordCamp. They had a couple good keynotes, one each day. Those were really informative. A few great speakers that I enjoyed. Some ice cream social, fun snacks, a lot of sponsors in attendance that I got to talk to. All around, had a totally great time, and I think Boston puts together a pretty good WordCamp, which is a surprising since I heard this was their seventh year. Wow. That's an old running WordCamp.
That is a long running WordCamp.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that was WordCamp this past weekend.
And anything surprising about WordCamp Boston?
No.
Really?
No. Nothing comes to mind.
So if you recall, actually, I know I might go ahead and do this. I'm going to do this real quick. Just bear with me.
Yeah.
So, you know, as this is our predictions episode, I predict that I'm going to surprise you or our buddy Dustin Hartzler at a WordCamp or meetup this year.
Right.
Yeah.
I think you will not be able to pull that off. Okay. I'm skeptical. Okay. I don't think you can surprise me.
Yeah.
I'll see it coming.
I'm going to get you. You're not going to see it coming.
I will.
Now that, for the new listeners to the show and for old listeners as well, that was from the prediction show where we predicted the future year, this 2017. And lo and behold, gotcha.
That you did. I must concede, I was surprised.
So those who just kind of haven't figured it out, I actually surprised Kyle at WordCamp Boston. I flew out the red eye Thursday night, which I almost didn't get on the plane. You know, I fly standby because my wife's a flight attendant. I got the last possible seat. I got very lucky. And I made it, and I had my own Airbnb about a half a mile away, but I land at 7:30 in the morning, couldn't do any social media, couldn't say, hey people, I'm in town for WordCamp. I didn't want him to see it because he wasn't going to arrive till 3 o'clock Eastern time. So I just went to WeWork, which is an awesome location down in Boston on St. James, worked for the day, actually edited a couple podcasts. Met some new people, made some new contacts, and got some business, ironically enough, and then surprised you at dinner.
That's right. We were going out to dinner with Ashley's colleagues and some other friends, and you walked in.
Right.
And the second I saw you, I said, that you did it. Yeah. I knew that was what it was.
Yeah.
The moment you walked up the stairs.
That was great. You know, and then just to add to the story real quick, of course, is I had bought a ticket already. Your wife actually kind of knew I might be coming because there was a chance I was going to actually be in your Airbnb and you would walk in, I'd be there, but the house was full already, so I got my own. So she didn't know. I actually kind of convinced her that I wasn't coming as well. The only person who really knew was Andy from A2 Hosting, and that was awesome. And then I bought a ticket to WordCamp itself, and I told the organizers, Tom and Ryko, that I was going to buy a ticket to surprise you. Didn't want to put my name in the attendees list, so I bought the ticket under the name of Paul Revere.
It was awesome. And I did scan the attendees list, and I didn't see you there. So,
I mean, I guess if I really bought a ticket, you would have seen my name thinking, no, it's just probably a joke. You probably wouldn't have believed it, would you?
Maybe, but my spidey sense would have been going off.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So it was good. It was, and then by chance, there was a unfortunate cancellation because I had asked, I had offered to Ryko, the organizer, if they needed a backup speaker. I've done that before for Denver and stuff. So it worked out to where I was actually on the panel with you.
That's right. That's right. We had a 4-person panel, and the day of our speaking, one of the panelists sent an email and said they had a family emergency,
right,
and couldn't attend. And so I said, I talked to the organizer, said, do you mind if I add someone to the panel? I know somebody else who doesn't really know much about the topic or anything. Not going to really contribute much, but it would make him feel really nice if we put him on the panel.
So he wasn't available. So then you came to me as an expert in hiring, freelance kind of work. Yeah, okay. So
right. Yuck.
Anyway, so
it was so great. You did it. Anyway, and then the short story is you pulled it off.
I pulled it off. So next year, I think I can get you next year.
It's going to get increasingly harder to do this.
Yeah. Actually, I think it might just be random places like, you know, that you don't, not even a WordCamp, just, you know, in your town.
Yeah.
When you're grocery
shopping. You're going to really have to level up.
When you're grocery shopping, I'm just like, kind of like, Kyle?
maybe I'll spin this around. Maybe I'll surprise you one day.
Good luck.
I can do it. I can be sneaky sometimes.
Or like, what's his name? What's the movie? Taken. Good luck. Maybe the bad one. Well,
I have a very particular set of skills myself.
Okay, right on. But I fly for free. Okay. So I think that's all the updates we really have, truly. I mean, yeah, because I think I mentioned Kitchen. Yeah, so that's about it for the updates. So, all right, news, newsworthy stuff. What do you got?
There's a lot of stuff that I wanted to talk about,
right,
but only a few that we decided to cover this week. And one of the first, this was kind of going around some of our Slack channels and on the news posts. Another platform that's not WordPress.
What?
Called Ghost.
What?
Released version 1.0. And Ghost has been around since 2013. Was when its original version was launched. But this is their 1.0 release, which was actually, coincidentally, their 100th release.
Oh, wow.
And it looks nice. It looks nice.
Have you tried it?
As a matter of fact, I had a little extra time this morning, and I did install Ghost and run through the motions with it. I like it.
And
it's nice.
And what did you install it on? So I'm just looking through the notes here on it. Is it running on top of like a local install, like desktop server?
No. Actually, I have an account, hosting account that I had not much going on in, and it's included in the Softaculous suite of installers.
Oh, gotcha.
That this particular host offered. So I just clicked on Ghost, installed it in a new directory on my server, and voila, I got to try it out. And for those who aren't familiar with Ghost, it's a blogging platform.
Sounds vaguely familiar.
Vaguely familiar. It is pretty reminiscent in its mission and function to what WordPress used to be years ago.
Oh.
But it is very, very nice. It is extremely sleek and fast and clean and easy. So I think the user experience is super good. It feels very modern. It feels uncluttered and snappy.
And I see there's a plugin, GhostWP. I'm kidding. I'm just making that up.
So this has nothing to do with WordPress other than it's almost a divergence from WordPress's evolution to become what it is today. WordPress is a very robust, some would say very complicated platform, super advanced, extremely rich in features, all the features under the sun and a billion more that you don't need.
Right.
Okay. And so Ghost now exists as like a really slimmed down version. If you want to power a blog,
why not go to something like Medium then, you know?
Right. There are a lot of great hosted solutions. That is true. Definitely Medium, WordPress.com for that matter.
Yeah, exactly.
It's pretty straightforward. But if you want a self-hosted blog, Ghost is pretty cool.
They're just making an option open source. Yes, I see. But the question I have for you is, are they trying to compete, if you will, with WordPress?
In a way, definitely trying to take that kind of self-hosted open source publishing kind of market.
Yeah.
Where WordPress is really trying, is really kind of like advancing into a different space, to a much broader market of like websites and even web applications.
Right.
Which Ghost is not so, even so exploring.
So you say in a way, do you mean like in a way or in a world? Ghost 1.0. I think actually I have a new opportunity here to do some voiceover work.
I think you really, really want to. And you probably should.
Yeah.
But the truly interesting thing about this 1.0 release for Ghost is that it includes their new editor, mm-hmm. which a lot of people in the WordPress space are like, hey, that looks kind of Gutenberg-like, or like what we're shooting for,
right.
What Matt has been talking about. This is what we want, this block-based, nice visual editor, and Ghost has pretty much got it. Their editor is, I think, objectively nicer than
okay.
ours.
Okay. All right. Here's a question for you. I'm just going to pose this question, and maybe we should. I have two things. One, a statement, and the other one, a question. First of all, as a WordPress competitor, quote, as a, you know, trying to take part of that market, I remember there's been other WordPress killer attempts. There was one years ago that friends of mine were trying to help. It was total multi-level marketing, live this great lifestyle, sell people how to learn how to blog, total pyramid scheme. It was called Blog Beast. And the best thing about that was the main site. It was a video of this guy wearing the khakis and the open shirt in Florida, like the linen shirt, you know, that you'd see on vacation. He said, come live, see my lifestyle and then learn how to use Blog Beast and, you know, and sell stuff, you know, sell other people how to blog and packages and different levels. Of course, that site was built on WordPress. So I always thought it was ironic. And I told my friends this. I'm like, you guys, do you not realize it's just a total scam? Like, no, it's going to be great. It's going to kill WordPress. Wait, okay. And where are they now? Yeah, they're selling Tupperware. Anyway.
right.
But the question is, yeah. Do you think, here's the question, do you think there's any chance of an acquisition from WordPress to pick up Ghost, almost like, you know, aqua hire to use some of that talent on the WordPress core team over Automattic, if you will?
I would be very surprised.
Okay.
If things went that way. I don't think they're complementary enough.
Okay.
I think that it in either direction, it would be a hostile takeover. They don't align.
Okay.
Well enough for it to very likely make sense. And this is just me talking
right
out of my butt.
Yeah.
I don't know this stuff. But yeah, I think they're just entirely separate platforms. It would just be a grab for a user base.
Yeah.
And maybe some technology, which would have to be re-engineered. It's built on a different platform. It's not on PHP like
right.
WordPress is.
Right.
This is on Node.js.
Node.js, I read that, yeah.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. I would recommend people take a look at this, if nothing else, to get a sense for what another
right.
Platform but, is exploring for
know,
their editor,
you know, I
and
talk,
kind of what we're shooting for.
But I talked to Matt after WordCamp Boston. I swung by, you know, his place, and we were talking. He was thinking about going to Node.js. I'm kidding, people. I'm just joking. All right. Cool. Well, that's interesting. Take a look. We'll put a link in the show notes to that, and people can check that out as well. What else we got? We got this other article here that you posted, and this one was, let me read the title here. Envato has too much cash, so its staff will share its riches.
What do you think about it? Did you read the article?
I read parts of it, yeah. I should have taken that offer when they wanted to buy me out.
What did you think about this? What's your impression here?
Well, it's one of those things when I've read it before. Other companies have cash and they help their employees. You know, they give it back. I think it's smart, personally. I mean,
really,
I do. I think profit sharing is a good idea. Then again, it depends. I mean, I don't know. It's, I've never had it. Have you ever had that happen to you? I mean, you know, true profit sharing or, you know, in a small company kind of thing.
not ever in a good way.
Right. Okay.
No. I've had maybe employers who wanted to take advantage of their employees.
Right.
I mean, offer kind of
literally
shady deals.
They increased profits with 300 employees from 1 million in 2016 fiscal year to 1.2 million. I mean, I guess, I don't know. I mean, I just had a conversation with someone yesterday about, oh yeah, I know what it was. I was at lunch yesterday with my buddy Scott. I'm trying to think of his name. John Stewart. Yes, I had lunch with John Stewart. Different John Stewart people. But we're talking about the whole fact of money and, you know, setting up for failure. You know, like the whole fact that if I keep helping somebody who doesn't know how to manage their money, it doesn't help them in the long run. It hurts them. You're enabling. So, I don't know. I don't know if money is always the best thing. I mean, some people would rather have more vacation, more better balance of life, right?
Sure.
That's
sure.
Not, you know.
And this is an interesting situation, I suppose. And they didn't grow their profits from 1 million to 1.2 million. Right, right. That was like the its annual profit share with their employees, right, right. I think. They're doing much, much better than that as a company.
Right.
I think it estimated just under like 40 million in net profit, Envato as a company. And they're an impressive, very impressive. It's amazing that they've been bootstrapped this whole time, and they just had their 10-year anniversary, and they're doing great, and they have a surplus. They have they're covering their costs and have a lot more. So companies in that situation, it's always intriguing to see what they do when they're sitting on cash.
Right.
Go maybe make strategic investments, acquisitions. Actually, they've been doing that. We talked about on a recent episode. Owen Votto just bought.
Right.
Some other hosting company or something.
Yeah, because they have that Votto managed hosting now, right?
Right, right. They're spending their money, and but one of the things they're trying to do is send some of that back towards their employees, and that's always an option.
And I think that's a good option. I really do think that it shows. What's the word? I mean, I had a thought there, kind of just went out of my head. I honestly believe that it shows respect for your employees. If you're going to say, hey, we have an extra X dollar, or not extra, we have this money, we could do more, at least at acquisitions or investments to grow the company, that's great. And you still have a job. You should be, in a sense, one of those things that you have a job, you work here, you're being paid well. But I think that having the bonus structure sometimes and having that sharing is a nice thing. I think it can't be a bad thing necessarily, even though I just said it could be bad for certain people. It's not like they're giving every employee $1 million. You might get a small, a check of five or whatever it is, I don't know. But you know what I mean?
Right.
It's that lottery mentality of, all of a sudden I have a million and you're miserable and you're broke. But I mean, if it's spread out through your paycheck kind of thing, you have to pay a small amount of taxes on it as income. That's one thing. So,
it's funny that Collis did say in the article, Collis is the founder of Envato. He did talk about managing expectations a little bit, being careful to make it so that employees don't get a sense like this is part of their salary.
Right.
This is not something to expect. This is a special thing that might not even ever happen again. And he said in the article that he put together a slide deck on suggestions for employees on what they could spend this profit share on, suggestions that were kind of funny. And trying to make it clear to employees that we're doing well right now. We want to show our appreciation to you. Anyway, it was kind of interesting. We don't know much about the intricacies of this arrangement or what's going on inside the company. I have some other friends who have said there's more going on than just this short article explains. But
yeah,
I don't know that stuff.
Okay. All right.
We just read articles and talk into a microphone about it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's pretty much the only skill I have. Reading and speaking.
Right.
Okay, moving on. So that's it for the news. Right. What else we got here? Hey, Kyle, what you wearing? What you drinking? And if you're reading something special, what you reading? But what are you wearing? What are you drinking in the WordPress space? Go.
Awesome. Right now, underneath, because it was a little bit of a brisk morning, I did throw on my WordCamp Chicago hoodie. But under that, I've got a Dradcast t-shirt.
What?
Do you have one of those?
I do. I have six of them. All the rainbow.
These are pretty
exclusive. All the colors of the rainbow.
Yeah. A Dradcast t-shirt. Not everybody has that, but Dradcast was a WordPress podcast that hasn't been airing for a while.
Dre Armada, yeah.
Yeah, and Brad Williams.
Brad Williams.
Yeah, they've co-hosted that for a long time. It was one of the first that I ever started listening to when I began tuning into WordPress on the airwaves. And it was always a good show. I enjoyed it quite a lot, and I got this shirt from them several years ago. So
nice.
It's pretty unique. There's not a lot of people out there who've got that in their WordPress swag drawer.
Right. And what you drinking this fine early Saturday morning? I mean, you might
sipping on some coffee.
You're not like, is it spiked?
No, this is pretty early morning still, but I am drinking coffee out of a mug that like one of my favorite local microbreweries.
Wow.
I had a mug at their mug club, and they shut down, but they let me take my mug home. So now it's just my coffee mug here.
Okay.
I remember the good times at that brewery.
Right on.
How about yourself?
So I wanted to mention that 50 days later, today is 50 days since the incident, pre-WordCamp Orange County. I'm feeling really good, just so everyone knows, knock on wood. There I was, knocking on wood. And I also woke up the foster. So, in honor of the accidents, if you will, I am drinking coffee out of a WordCamp Orange County 2014 mug. Nice. I have two of these. I have the red one and I have a white one. It's home. And it is a homebrew. I'm drinking a homebrew coffee. I brewed it at home.
Yeah.
And I'm also wearing the 2017 mask from and T-shirt from WordCamp 2017 Orange County. So I still I got my swag, even though I didn't make the event. I went to the meetup last couple weeks ago, and they saved me all my stuff and my badge. So I got the T-shirt, I got the towel for the speaker gift, got the mask because they did the theme there was superheroes. So
it's really cool. The mask looks great on you.
Thank you. Yeah,
should wear it more often, more often, day to day. I think put the mask on.
I gotta put it up a little bit. It's a little stinking in my face. Okay.
More mask, less face.
Yeah. Wow. There you have it. There you have it. All right. So, that's I'm not reading. I'm still reading books and stuff. You know. So anyway.
Yeah, me too.
So hey, Kyle, guess what time it is?
It's time to talk about people that are moving on.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Good call. Good save.
Oh, so you got somewhere to be or something?
So I went out of order there, didn't I?
A little bit.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. It happens. All right, moving on. Okay. So on the move.
We like to talk about people that we're aware of who have changed jobs and moved around in our community.
Yeah.
Every episode.
I don't know who any of these people are this week.
Well, there are a couple of acquaintances of mine who are in the WordPress community doing cool things, maybe under the radar for a lot of our listeners. But first is a woman named Melissa Meschke, and she's from Lansing, Michigan, left an agency called Michigan Creative, and moved to Wisconsin to join, I don't remember who. But it was a big deal because she co-founded that agency and ran it for 5 or 6 years, and they did a lot of cool stuff. They were Michigan Creative was a cool company, or is still a cool company operating in her absence. And Andrew Walker, also, I was made aware recently, he has changed jobs. Andrew Walker is a real smart guy, super cool. Formerly was a support tech at A2 Hosting.
Oh.
And lived in Ohio, I want to say. Now he's moved to Ann Arbor, and he does some stuff, engineering sort of testing stuff that's way over my head.
Okay.
Yeah, but he's a super cool guy.
And just so you know, for Melissa, her Twitter profile is pretty cool. 6-foot-tall marketing professional, sports fanatic, and politics lover. Twitter's where I talk about things I can't on Facebook. And she has an awesome hashtag. can I say what the awesome hashtag is in her profile? It says,
I don't know. Maybe you should tell people to just go see
it. Go check out Melissa Meschke. So it's at Mel Meschke, M-E-S-C-H-K-E. And check it out. So anyway, I'm a fan. You know what? I'm going to follow her right now. Boom, just like that.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, she's...
So, okay. All right. Now, Kyle, guess what time it is?
Now I'm not sure. Could you tell me?
It's questions time. That's right, people. It's questions time. You sent them in. We read them. We researched them. And now it's time to give you options. All right. For those of you who obviously can't see us because you can't see us, it's an audio show. Kyle on video was just going bat crazy. bat bleeping crazy in the background, dancing to that music. He loves that soundtrack.
I think everybody does. Everybody. They're out jogging. You can't just you just can't help but get into it.
I mean, I wrote and produced it from scratch, you know, in my little studio here.
Right.
Anyway, all right. So first question you're gonna ask.
First question is short and sweet. Comes to us from Ross Johnson, and he asks us, how do you be the best?
What a great question.
Isn't it?
I have no idea the answer. I actually have a couple options here for you, Ross. I would say, how do you be the best? Well, it depends on, of course, the best of what, you know, and where you are in life and who's asking. So there's so many layers of the onion here. First and foremost, when it comes to being the best, let's say father to children, if they're really little, they have no say in it. You are the best all the time. Okay. When it comes to just, you know, and another one I would say, on a little deeper note, like, you know, in a esoteric way, I'd say become the best by failing. Fail often, fail fast, move forward, get better. Okay. That's an option. Stay on track, keep moving forward, right? What do you got? You have any options?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things to consider here, but if really, truly you want to just objectively be the best so that everyone forever will just say, oh man, Ross, he's the best, you've got to innovate a little bit. And I think inventing some technology could be the fast track.
Right.
If you were to invent technology that does a few things, one, that eliminates, first and foremost, eliminates printers, weeds, flat tires, internet trolls, printers, power outages, 404 errors, allergies, articles listing the top 10 WordPress plugins every site needs, printers, and political corruption, you will be the best.
So I think you have, well, also, I think you left off one there. I think you honestly left off the most important one.
What was that?
Any WordPress slider.
Those can go. Yeah.
Right.
Include that and you will truly be the best.
Yeah. I also think, wow. Yeah. I think you summed it up fairly well. I'm going to offer one more option. Be modest. Do those things, but don't tell anybody you did those things.
Whoa.
See?
Right.
I mean, I have a saying, you know, one of my old mantras going through some life issues a few years ago was, action speaks louder than words. I can't remember what it was. It worked so well for me. I got to tell you this. I got to think of it now. So go ahead and say something and I'll think of it.
Something and I'll think of it.
Thank you. I want you to stretch something out, vamp a little bit so I can come up. Okay, here, let me just tell you this, people. So the quote I used to say all the time was, oh yeah, clarity begets action. Action speaks louder than words.
Okay.
Right. So if you're clear about what you're going to do, excuse me, if you're clear about what you're going to do and then do it, but don't bring attention to it, that'll go a long way in being the best.
Wow.
That's it.
Yeah.
Right there.
That's profound.
It is.
It is. This is something that I've been reflecting on a little bit lately, too. It's funny that we get a question like this, and it just makes me think of some of what's been on my mind. I think being the best at something requires huge sacrifice. To be the best at anything. Did you see the movie Whiplash?
I did.
Yeah, I think it's a good example that kind of sums up like the sacrifices one has to go through. And if anyone listening hasn't seen the movie, I recommend you check it out. It's the kind of movie that I find myself talking about with friends somewhat regularly because it's just that powerful. And it just follows a character who makes significant life sacrifices in order to be the best at one specific thing. And that's kind of how it works. And I've looked around at that, and that's something that as I've gotten a little bit older, I'm still pretty young, but as every year that goes by, I look around and I see maybe people my age who maybe single friends of mine who have businesses achieving levels of productivity and success that I envy at times. And I just recognize the fact that maybe they can work more if they want to. And I have, you know, a wife and a house and other responsibilities, and I choose to call it a day at a specific time each day and go help cook dinner and hang out with my wife instead of like working late, which some of my friends do. Some of my incredibly prolific developer friends are up like halfway through the night writing code, and the next morning we're just marveling at the things that they've created, and that I feel like I'm unproductive in comparison.
I know exactly what you mean. I mean, and I always tell people, you know, there's people in our community who've done this. There's people in tangent areas of the internet and marketing, and it's a sacrifice. You're right, in some capacity, it's putting in the time, but it's also a chapter of life. You know, the difference is people who have kids, no kids. People who are married, not married. Can you work? You know, do you have a full-time job or is this your full-time? It just depends on what you're doing. You can't compare yourself to someone's chapter now versus your chapter. You know, things don't align sometimes. So the fact that you did even say Whiplash and that sacrifice, you know, I'm going to also mention a book, Malcolm Gladwell's book, Outliers. You know, there's the 10,000 hour principle.
Right? Yeah.
So, you know,
right.
It takes time. Nobody became successful overnight. No one was born with, you know, the silver spoon. Oh, except for one guy. You know. Didn't say it yet. But, you know, it just... It takes time to be the best. And, you know, and then again, what is the definition of the best? And what's the definition of success? You need to know that it's for you. You know, don't compare someone else's success. And don't, you know, it's that whole picture of the iceberg. But, you know, everything above, that the iceberg's a little bit above the water. Majority of the work is under the water. Nobody sees, right?
Yeah. I think, like, the best is almost a really... I don't know. It's a weird thing to shoot for anyways. To be good at something, we can all be good at something if we put in time and effort. But to be the best, that comes at an incredible cost. Another movie that I liked was La La Land. And that demonstrates that there's an incredible cost for trying to achieve your dreams. You can't have everything. You have to choose. So if you want to be the best at something, it's really an almost universal rule that you're going to have to sacrifice very big other things in your life. I could just sacrifice many personal relationships, mm-hmm. and my marriage and my hobbies and all kinds of things, and I could hypothetically be the best at something, maybe playing guitar or being a developer. But I would have to sacrifice a lot of other important things in my life. I would have to basically shut those down and ignore them in quite a lot. We need to recognize that every minute we spend on something is a minute we're spent blatantly ignoring everything else.
Right.
And every minute I spend on this podcast is a minute I'm ignoring my business, my day-to-day work, right. My family, everything else.
It's right. It's a trade-off. We only have so many days. We all have the same amount of time as far as in a day while you're alive, and there's no guarantee. And, you know, that's part of why there's changes coming in my life. And yeah, it's just, and I think as we get older and as you get older, you'll see. I mean, I'm at a place now where, you know, you see people's numbers. I see people, what they're doing online and teaching classes. And, oh, my gosh, their monthly reoccurring revenue is really impressive. Didn't happen overnight. And I'm happy for them. I'm not envious or jealous anymore. Really not. I just take the approach of, good, they did the work. They deserve the success that they want. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they've sacrificed, you know. But I do know that my kids are at the age they're at now. There are so much time. I want to do better for them. I want to do better for us. Yeah, you know, it's a struggle, to say the least. Anyway, so
it is, and it's weird for both of us because we have somewhat of an entrepreneurial tendency.
It's painful.
We don't want to just settle and just say this is good enough. We see the opportunities and the things we could achieve, and it drives us crazy that we're not there yet. Right.
I mean, I was gonna say, I listened to a podcast yesterday. It was with Chris Badgett from Lifter LMS Cast. Or I think it's just LMS Cast, and Lifter LMS is a learning management system. And he interviewed Joseph Michael from Learn Scrivener Fast, and he actually said this in the interview that, you know, he's entrepreneurial. But he had that day job, and it was an okay job, but he always felt like there was something else you want to do. And it's tough if you have that gene, we'll call it, right? It's hard to just, quote, have a job. You're always going to do something else on the side, you know. You might have a job for short term because you need to provide, you need something, obviously, for consistency. So, mm-hmm. you know, and as everyone knows, not everyone, but people who may know my story, you know, it's been coming up on 11 months that I went back to my own soloness, you know, my entrepreneurial spirit here, running concierge and stuff. Anyway, so, all right. There you go. Yeah. There's the answer for you. That's how you be the best. You watch Whiplash, then La La Land, and read the book Outliers. And then you'll be the best. You'll know. Those are the answers.
Yeah. I think you can already get an impression that we could rabbit hole for a long time this topic.
Totally. Totally. All right. Second question. All right. Who sent this? This one is Ian Wilson. Our good buddy Ian sent this in. I have a client that doesn't. This is too funny. I have a client that doesn't request much, but when they do, it's as Friday. It's no. I know. It's AF. I mean, it's easy money, but they really aren't. They are not an important part of my business. Should I fire them?
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That's a tough. You got an annoying client, and I mean, they're not really a terrible client, and you do make money off of them. I've definitely been in this situation before. You don't really want to continue working with them, but you don't have a great reason to not. With some clients, they give you all the reasons in the world, and firing them is a no-brainer.
So here's my option for you, and it's actually, you know, you have a few things. So the approach is AF. Obviously, they're annoying. AF as Friday, I'm going to say. But so maybe just check. Maybe you're annoying them. You never know. Maybe you're looking in a mirror, Ian. I mean, you know, just I don't know. It's one of those things that you never know. You know, maybe how are you coming across to them? Or you could present yourself and support them with extreme, you know, kill them with kindness, and maybe they'll go away.
What?
Or if they really are that annoying, and people, and let's say if they're so annoying, and let's say on a different note, you have other people who owe you money, you should hire them to be your collections agency.
Whoa. Okay.
The disconnect to connect to that is collection agency people are really annoying, and they might be a new career for them. I'm just saying.
Interesting.
It's a tough one to deal with. Actually, the other way is if you want out of the business relationship, raise your prices.
Oh, see, these are a lot of good ideas.
I mean, that's the true option I'm going to give you. If you want out of the business relationship without having to, quote, fire them, have them leave you. Raise your prices. Simple. You know, like consistently. Like if they have, is it month to month? If it's a contract, just say, you know, my prices are going up. And, you know, and usually it's just give them a 30 or 60 day notice. Hey, my prices are going from X for their monthly, if they're on a retainer or something, to Y, and double it. And if they stick around, then it's worth dealing with the annoying client, because you can then sub out that work and not have to touch them on it. Hey, my prices are going up from $150 an hour to $300 an hour, and the new account manager is going to be Bob. Please contact him directly. You know, when you pay Bob $150 an hour, you're still making $150 an hour, and you have no contact. See?
Wow.
That's me. You're
a genius. Have you ever thought about writing a book or something?
Yeah.
Well, this is a tough situation.
It's called La-La-Whiplash. La-La-Lash.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
I think you should ghost them. It's simple. Just keep sending them invoices automatically, but set up an email rule in your mail client that sends all the messages to spam. You're a busy business owner. This is the thing. And I've been in this situation before. You can move on from old clients. It's okay. Your new clients are like your new friends after you've changed high schools. You don't talk with your old friends anymore. You don't return their calls or MySpace messages or Yahoo chat requests.
Really? Wait, really?
Move on. Like your friendship just meant nothing. Like those camping trips and late nights and dreams about the future never happened. You're too cool and too busy now to even reply. You've got your new haircut, new car, and started listening to only indie pop music. And you just moved on. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Nobody's mad. It's okay. All right?
Wow, MySpace, huh?
Anyway, what were we talking about?
Okay, so I guess I think we beat that to a dead horse.
I do think that I have a thought about the client and how I've dealt with this in the past.
Okay.
Because I had a client that was very similar. I think one effective thing to do is inform the client that your model is changing a little bit.
Right.
And this is better for everyone involved. This is not terribly hard to sell if you're good at what you do. You explained that you are not completely satisfied with the quality of the work and the response times that you're able to deliver, given your, you know, changing in client base and the new projects and your new staff and blah, blah, blah. So you're working on getting better, providing better service to customers like this one. And so, starting on a certain date, you will be converting to a retainer model.
Mm-hmm.
This is for the client's benefit.
Right.
This is something where the client will have dedicated time. It's very specific time, a certain amount on a certain routine. Could be an hour a week or 10 hours a month or something, whatever is necessary based on maybe you make a calculation based on history and present it to the client. Say, this is how frequently we've been doing stuff for you and how much time it's taken. So we're averaging that out. This is going to be for your benefit because you can count on us during these time periods. There's no more of this need for sporadic content and interruptions of our workflow where it takes us a while to get back to you because we're in the midst of a project. We can count on this time. A retainer model works really good for those irritating clients, and it's worked great for me in the past.
Okay, that's actually a really good option. I might give you one more option, then we're gonna have to move on. Partner with them, have them buy in, take a stake in the company, because that's a great great option right there. Just become partners.
Oh, that's perfect. Just move in together.
Right, pretty much. Marry, if you can, if it works out legally in your state, marry the person. All right, moving on. So the final question. Yeah, this one was this sent in. How was this? This is a voice message.
No, this. Oh, right.
This is a voice message. So I'm gonna go ahead and play this. And
jeez.
Yeah. So here's one. This is from Evan. He sent this in.
My name is Evan Robbins, and I'm contacting you in regards to any opportunity for an interview on your podcast. I have a wonderful speaker, and I believe his perspective is an asset to any business environment. Jonathan David Lewis is partner and strategy director at McKee Wallwork Company, and has been endorsed by companies such as Lego, LG, Disney, and Hyundai. He is a contributing writer for Forbes, and this May, his new book, Brand vs. Wild, Building Resilient Brands for Harsh Business Environments, will be published. Following 10 years of proprietary research, this book explains what survival psychology can do to lead your business through the wild. Psychologically, there's no difference between a group of people who crash land on a mountain and a group of leaders in a boardroom. Both are experiencing disruption, and both can overcome it in the same way. Disruption isn't going anywhere, and Jonathan David Lewis is here to help navigate it. After this interview, listeners will be able to rally a team together to navigate challenging disruptions, identify and react to key signs of failure, navigate the wild within. We would love any opportunity to be featured on your podcast. Thank you so much for your consideration.
Wow. Well, Evan, that was a heck of a question. And they actually even added a sub-audio track there. That was sent in by Evan Rons through the email system.
Oh, boy.
And of course, so that may not have been his voice. We may have had a voiceover artist there,
right?
On that sounded awfully like you. Nonetheless, so
it's super great.
It is.
But this is like an unsolicited message sent through our contact form,
right? And of course, the person doesn't listen to the show,
obviously, which is why we don't really feel too bad about making jokes about this unsolicited message, right? And mixing up audio mixing their request.
I mean, we don't mean any disrespect to Evan or to Jonathan David Lewis, who is a partner and strategy director at wherever. And the fact he's a contributing writer, he's a writer for Forbes and the blah blah blah, his new book. That's great.
Right.
But I think when people reach out to us, you know, you need to know the show that we don't really have interviews. It's not that show. So you just found a show on you found a podcast, you found a website, you found a form, and you're just you're trying to get people, trying to share. Spread your. I don't know. I'm done.
Right.
I'm done.
Yeah.
I have no options for you here, Evan. Sorry. The option
it meets,
is.
Yeah. This really meets the criteria for qualifying as spam.
Right.
Because it was unsolicited mass request that you're obviously sending to a lot of people. And you obviously didn't listen to our show. And you'll never know, probably, that we were cracking jokes a little bit about your message.
Right. So, but thank you for that.
Yeah.
So that
thanks
is it.
For making us laugh.
This show, why don't you go ahead and wrap us up? Let us.
Well, thanks everybody for listening. Thank you. Oh, my co-host. I never thank you. Thank you, Adam, for being great, helping produce this fun show.
Sure thing, Kyle.
Yeah. Everybody should go leave a review and specifically mention how great it is to listen to Adam on a weekly basis. Wow. And listen to Adam's other show, Kitchen Sink WP. It's on iTunes. And
Stitcher,
probably,
and Stitcher Radio too.
You might enjoy an episode every now and then. You can also get your questions answered on this show. We want to answer your questions. You just heard us answer three. And on our next episode, one of those could be yours. Could be your question.
Could be.
It could be a burning question that you're sitting on, that you're stewing over, that you're confused about, you're concerned, you're stressed, you have anxiety.
Wait, stop right there. Burning, sitting, stewing. That just sounds like you have to go to the restroom or see a doctor. Okay, move on. Yeah. Get us out of here. Right.
Let's wrap this up. Send your question, please, pretty please, to our email, questions@getoptionspodcast.com, or go to getoptionspodcast.com and use the SpeakPipe feature there to leave us a voicemail, which we'll play on a future episode. We promise we won't make any jokes about your question.
If it's a real question, that makes sense.
If it's a real question and we don't think it's funny.
Right.
Or you could submit our contact form there. Also, feel free to leave reviews on iTunes for our show, or tweet about us, or follow us. I guess we've got a Twitter account or something like that. My Twitter account is at Mr. Kyle Maurer, and Adam's is at, I don't know.
Hey Adam. I'm at Twitter on Hey Adam Silver.
Anyway, this has been episode 24.
Woohoo! And we'll see you next week. Bye. Say goodbye, Kyle.
Goodbye, Kyle.